On Sunday, January 8th at 11 p.m., Sugar in My Bowl features Charlie Hayden's Liberation Music Orchestra as they close out the 2017 Winter Jazz Festival. Join us as we talk to Ruth Cameron Hayden, Joseph Daly, longtime member of the Liberation Music Orchestra. And we hear the voice of Charlie Hayden from a 2011 conversation. That's Sunday, January 8th at 11 p.m., right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web.
It's so important to remember how precious this life is. I want a little sugar in my bowl. I want a little sweetness down in my soul. I could stand some loving, oh, so bad. I feel so funny, I feel so sad. I want a little steam on my clothes. Maybe I can fix things up so they'll go. What's the matter, Daddy? Come on, save my soul. I need some sugar in my bowl. I ain't fooling. I want some sugar in my bowl.
You're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Sugar in My Bowl is the name of this program. My name's Joyce Jones. And Sugar in My Bowl is wrapping up our 2017 Winter Jazz Fest coverage with tonight's program featuring Charlie Hayden's Liberation Music Orchestra. Our guests for this evening are Ruth Cameron Hayden, producer, road manager, and widow of Charlie Hayden, and longtime band member Joseph Daly. The Liberation Music Orchestra will be closing out the 2017 Winter Jazz Festival on Tuesday, January 10th at La Poisson Rouge. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Sugar in My Bowl coming up now.
Save my soul. I want some sugar in my bowl. I ain't fooling. I want some sugar. My bow.
the Liberation Music Orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that. How did it start? And how did you and Carla Bley, you know, say, okay, let's do this?
Well, I knew Carla from when I was playing at the Hillcrest in L.A. This is like 1956, 57. She was married to Paul Bley, and we became friends. And I knew her music, and I knew the way she composed and the way she arranged her instruments. And as growing up in the Ozarks is a very racist part of the country. And then after I left, I found out that almost every place in the country was racist, so I wasn't in the only place, but I didn't like where I was living, and I felt injustice all around me, and I grew up with that inside me, and I got out of Missouri as soon as I could and went to L.A., but it was kind of a political awakening for me. I was introduced to a lot of injustice in the world, not just in the States, but everywhere. So when Vietnam was happening, I was listening to WBAI. I was playing at a little club on Midtown in, on 39th and Lexington. And I was on a break, and I was listening to WBAI in my car. And Nixon had just bombed Cambodia. And I couldn't believe what was going on. And I decided, you know, I had a collection of songs, political songs, from all different parts of the world, you know, and different countries in South America. You know, the people united will never be defeated. I had all those songs from Calatayud and Chile and Bolivia. And I also had a lot of songs from the Spanish Civil War. And so I got this idea to make a record to voice my concerns about what was going on. And I called Carla Bley and I said, I want to do this record in protest of what's happening in And maybe you could write the arrangements for me. And so we got together, and I played her some of the music, and I composed some of the music, and she composed some more music. And before we knew it, we had a great record together, and we hired these great musicians in New York: Roswell Rudd playing trombone, and Don Cherry playing trumpet, and Dewey Rindler playing tenor, and Dr. Barbieri playing tenor, and Paul Motion playing drums, and Carla playing piano, and there were 12 musicians in the Liberation Music Orchestra, and they were all master improvisers, and we made this record called the Liberation Music Orchestra, and, you know, it became a really an underground success all over the world, and then the next record we did was under Reagan, and it was called The Ballad of the Fallen, and then we made another record under George Bush's father called Dreamkeeper.
Yes, and that one has Ken McIntyre on it.
It sure does.
Yeah.
And then we did Not in Our Name, which is the latest one about, you know, I don't even want to talk about it. Well, you know, it's the corrupt and greedy family of the Bushes and all the people they were surrounded by, all the corporate CEOs and people who were making so much money from Wall Street and wars and whatever else they could manufacture so they could make more and more money. And so we did an album called Not in Our Name. That's the last one we recorded. I'm thinking about doing another one now because, you know, I think maybe I'll do another record.
Oh, that's wonderful. Because it's definitely necessary.
You think so?
I think so. Especially yeah. with the most recent Libya situation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, in Wisconsin.
Exactly. There's always a reason to have a liberation music.
Yeah, more and more people are becoming aware, you know, of what's going on. Mm-hmm. And it's very sad what's going on, and it's really good that more and more people are becoming aware of what's going on because the people in Wisconsin, you know, started protesting, and I thought it was such a wonderful thing that could happen in the United States, that people were together in camaraderie, and they were staying, you know, and sleeping in tents and, mm-hmm. you know, wanting their voices to be heard. It was really something to see.
Yeah, it was definitely a beautiful scene, people coming out, making their voices heard.
Thank you.
speaking of making your voice heard, I understood you were arrested in Portugal when you were performing with Ornette Coleman. You want to tell us about that?
It was a tour that happened in 1971. My triplet daughters had just been born, and Ornette had this opportunity to go to Europe with the Newport Jazz Festival. So he told me and Ed Blackwell and Billy Redman that he wanted to do this tour. And I guess, you know, Miles Davis's band was on the tour, and Keith Jarrett actually was playing electric piano with him on that tour, so we got to hang out a lot. And then Duke Ellington's band was playing, and, you know, I got to meet a lot of guys in Duke's band and hang out with Paul Gonzalez. And then the Giants of Jazz is another band that was on the tour. That was Thelonious Monk and Art Blakey and Al McKibben and Kay Winding and Sonny Stitt.
Wow.
And, oh, man, what a band that was.
Wow.
And we were all traveling together, you know, and what a trip. I mean, I'll never forget that tour.
I bet.
So, you know, we were playing in Portugal. I saw on the itinerary, I wasn't going to go on the tour because my daughters had just been born and I wanted to stay and help, you know, because they were triplets and boys. That's a lot of work.
So, right.
Anyway, I decided that I should go and try to make a little money to help in that way. And when I got the itinerary, I saw the last country. There were 14 countries in Portugal, and I didn't agree with the colonial policies of Portugal, the colonies that they had in Africa. They were systematically wiping out the black race, and I went to Ornette's hotel room. Well, first, even before we left New York, I called him, and I said, I really don't want to play in Portugal. And he said, why? And I told him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, we signed a contract. Don't worry. Everything will be all right. Just get on the plane. So we got to the first country, and we had a little meeting in the hotel, and he said, you got to play, man. And I said, well, he said, think of something you can do. And so I decided to, Ornette, on this particular tour, was playing one of my songs. He always plays just his music when he tours and records. It's always Ornette's music. And in this case, he wanted to do the song that I wrote for Che Guevara called Song for Che because he really liked it. And so we played it on every concert. And because we were playing my song, and he said, you know, do whatever you want to do. So I decided when we played my song, before we played it, I would dedicate it. When we got to Portugal, I decided to dedicate it to the Black People's Liberation Movement in Mozambique and Angola and Guinea-Bissau. I was arrested and put into the political prison in the PID, and it was a very scary situation. But anyway, I'm glad I did it.
Did they question you? Did they do anything?
Well, they were questioning me very, you know, aggressively. A couple of them had truncheons in their hand, ready to hit me, wherever they could hit me without leaving a mark. So, needless to say, I was very scared, and this went on for a couple of days, and probably the next day, well, they wanted me to sign a statement that he had written out in Portuguese, and I said, I can't read it. They said, well, Mr. Hayden, you should sign it. You got yourself into this mess. You got to sign this, and, you know, you shouldn't mix politics with music. And, because I wanted to call the embassy. Then before I knew what was happening, the guy who was controlling the questioning kind of changed expressions and said, you're a very lucky man. The United States embassy has just sent over the cultural attaché. They're going to retrieve you. That's just fantastic.
Do you know how that came about, or it just happened and you were glad?
I was glad, and I think Ornette had something to do with the calling of the embassy. And when they went on to London, and I had to stay in Lisbon, but I think when he got to London, he pulled some strings and got me out.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I understood the FBI interviewed you once you got back.
Mm-hmm. Several times. We became buddies.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, by then, to listen to the, you know, I said, you guys like jazz? They said, well, we haven't listened to that much. I said, sit down, you know. And I played so much jazz for them, I think they didn't want to come back. So that's how I got rid of them. Thank you.
Annie Melody. Chris Cheek. Lauren Stillman. Michael Rodriguez. Seneca Black. Curtis Brooks. Vincent Chansey. Joe Daly. Matt Wilson. Steve Cardenas. Thank you very much.
So let me start officially so we can, you know, speak freely.
Ramble.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Hi, my name is Joyce Jones, and I'm on the line with...
My name is Ruth Cameron, also known as Ruth Cameron Hayden.
Ruth Cameron Hayden, thank you so much for joining Sugar in My Bowl once again. And I really am so glad to be talking to you about, among other things, the upcoming Winter Jazz Fest event on the 10th. Charlie Hayden's Liberation Music Orchestra will be the closing performance.
Yes, of the Winter Jazz Festival. It's nice to talk to you again, Joyce. Charlie always enjoyed speaking with you. You were a good interviewer.
Thanks.
Yes, I'm bringing the orchestra to the Winter Jazz Fest, January 10th. It'll be at 8 p.m. at Le Poisson Rouge. And it will be with special guest Jerry Allen on piano and conducting. She's been a great friend of ours for many years, and she actually went to Cuba with the Liberation Music Orchestra in 1986. So
wow.
She has a long history, not only with Charlie, but also with the orchestra. Carla Bley is away for 3 months, so we invited Jerry to come and perform, and we're all very excited.
Well, that's wonderful. In the past, you've acted as producer for the Liberation Music Orchestra recordings.
Co-producer.
Right.
And manager. Mm-hmm.
How did you wind up taking on that capacity, and tell me about your present role?
Well, when I met Charlie in 1984, it seemed pretty clear that we had so many things in common, specifically our political views. Mm-hmm. I also come from music, but also theater, so I had a production background. I produced plays and worked with music, and we had such similar sensibilities as far as music was concerned and politics, and it became something that Charlie asked me my opinion, and we just naturally as a couple kind of merged into this co-producing relationship,
right,
apart from being husband and wife and partners and best friends, because I applied my theatrical production background to what it takes to produce an event, what it takes to produce in any situation, be it a recording. Basically, it's about being organized and taking care of all the stuff.
Right.
You know, but also having sensibilities and sensitivity to what Charlie cared about and his musical vision, was me enabling him to fulfill his musical vision.
One of the recordings that you actually received producer credit was Not in Our Name. And,
correct.
From the Liberation Music Orchestra. And during the conversation that we had with Charlie Hayden, he talked about the reason why that recording was released at that time, and it was during the Bush administration.
That's correct.
Right.
And it was actually not, you know, if you remember at the Oscars during that time when Michael Moore really came out against the Iraq War,
right,
he was booed off the stage.
Right.
So
right.
We felt very strongly against the invasion of Iraq. We felt this was not justified, which of course has been proven to be correct.
Right.
And that it would have far-reaching and disastrous implications, which of course has also proven to be correct. So Charlie felt so strongly, and I concurred, that we wanted to produce this album. And it was just at the turning point where the zeitgeist finally accepted that the Iraq War was not a good idea. But we were, you know, preparing it even when some people didn't agree with us at the time. You weren't an American. You weren't
right.
a patriot.
Right. You were a Guinness.
That's right.
You weren't with us.
You were for us or a Guinness.
Right.
Thank you.
You're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Sugar in My Bowl is the name of the program. Our feature for this evening is Charlie Hayden's Liberation Music Orchestra, who will be closing out the 2017 Winter Jazz Festival at La Poisson Rouge. What you're listening to right now is This Is Not America from Not In Our Name, the 2005 Verve release from Charlie Hayden Liberation Music Orchestra. Before that, we heard Sandino, Charlie Hayden composition from the Charlie Hayden Liberation Music Orchestra, the Montreal tapes. And this was originally recorded in 1989. This is a 1999 Verve Records release. The orchestra features Jerry Allen on piano. Before that, we heard Blue and Green from the latest release from Charlie Hayden Liberation Music Orchestra, Time Life, Song for the Whales and Other Beings. This was released in 2016 on Impulse Records. Before that, we heard Song for Che, which is from the first Charlie Hayden Liberation Music Orchestra release, 1969 on Impulse Records. Before that, we heard Not In Our Name, the title selection from the Charlie Hayden Liberation Music Orchestra. This is from a 2005 release. Before that, we heard Circus 6869. This is also from the Liberation Music Orchestra first release in 1969 on Impulse Records. And we, of course, opened with our theme from Nina Simone, I Want a Little Sugar in My Bowl. The compilation is called The Very Best of Nina Simone. Sugar in My Bowl, 1967-1972. This was originally recorded in 1967. This is a 1998 RCA BMG compilation. Stay tuned for our associate producer Hank Williams and his On the Bandstand segment, where he'll share more information with regard to the Liberation Music Orchestra and Joseph Daly, whom we'll hear from later in the program. As he is a former Sugar guest, he has a couple of gigs coming up, one as part of the Liberation Music Orchestra and another one Hank Williams will share later. Ruth Cameron Hayden and Joseph Daly after the Bandstand on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Sugar in My Bowl continues.
Good evening, jazz fans. This is Hank Williams, and welcome to On the Bandstand for January 8th. This segment features aerial listings of Sugar in My Bowl guests so you can see them live. And this week's show concludes our 2017 Winter Jazz Fest coverage with return visits by low brass specialist Joe Daly and Ruth Cameron, Charlie Hayden's widow and producer of several Hayden albums. The Liberation Music Orchestra closes the Winter Jazz Fest on Tuesday, January 10th, at Les Poissons Rouges with pianist Jerry Allen as a special guest. Ruth Cameron will be part of a panel discussion right before the show in the same location. You can catch Daly at Terra Blues with Hazmat Modine on the 21st. And you can see our review of the full Winter Jazz Fest on our blog later this week. Now let's get to our music listings. Bassist Mimi Jones hosts a jam session in the late set at Smoke on the 9th. Bassist Christian McBride has a 2-week run at the Village Vanguard, leading a trio from the 10th to 15th, and returning with a quartet from the 17th to the 22nd. Drummer J.T. Lewis is at the Cell Theater in Manhattan on the 11th with Harriet Tubman. Pianist Harold Mayburn leads a trio at Smalls on the 18th. Pianist Vijay Iyer is with trumpeter Wadada Leo Smith at Harlem Stage on the 19th. Drummer Francisco Moore Catlett leads Afro Horn on the 19th at the Clemente Soto Velez Center on the Lower East Side, and that's part of Arts for Arts month-long Justice's Compassion series. Drummer Jeff Tane Watts leads a quintet with Robbie Coltrane on sax at the Jazz Standard from the 19th to the 22nd. Guitarist Pat Metheny leads a quartet with drummer Antonio Sanchez at the Ridgefield Playhouse in Connecticut on the 20th and at the Count Basie Theater in Red Bank on the 22nd. Vocalist Kurt Elling is with saxophonist Branford Marsalis' quartet at Jazz at Lincoln Center's Rose Theater on the 20th to the 21st. Drummer and percussionist Bobby Sanabria is at Lincoln Center for the Performing Arts in the Bronx with Larry Harlow on the 21st. Guitarist Mark Rebo is at the Stone on the 22nd with fellow guitarist James Moore. Drummer and percussionist Will Calhoun has a CD release event for his Elvin Jones tribute at the Blue Note from the 24th through the 26th. Saxophonist Robbie Coltrane joins Calhoun as special guest on the 24th. Finally, Will Calhoun's gallery exhibit of his visual art collaboration Azza continues at the Bronx Music Heritage Center through February 11th. And once more, Vision Fest promoters Arts for Arts, nearly month-long series of jazz, poetry, and visual art, runs several nights a week through the 22nd at the Lower East Side's Clemente Soto Velez Center. We've highlighted a few events, but see the Arts for Arts website for the full performance schedule. That's all for this week. If you missed anything, full listings are on our blog. Go to sugarinmybowl.org and click the link for the blog, where you'll also find reviews, features, and jazz news. And Suga is spelled S-U-G-A. Playlists and audio from this and previous shows are also on the website. And if you're on Twitter and Facebook, look for us there too. We'd appreciate likes, tweets, and shares with your friends. If you like what we do, please help WBAI stay on the air by pledging whatever you can and consider becoming a WBAI buddy with a monthly pledge. The support WBAI link on our website has details. This is Hank Williams signing off with our bi-weekly schedule. We're off the air next week, but we'll have updated event listings online and be back on WBAI on Sunday, January 22nd. Either way you connect, we'll see you next time on the Bandstand.
You're tuned to WBAI, the station that tells our story and tells it like it is. This is Mabel Williams, widow of Robert F. Williams, Negroes with Guns, and you're listening to WBAI, New York, 99.5 FM.
And I mean every word of it.
And Charlie had mentioned during the conversation that he was thinking about releasing another Liberation Music Orchestra recording. And he did.
Yes, he did. After Not in Our Name, and that title came about when the band was on tour. I also managed the band and all of Charlie's bands. So the band was on tour in Europe, and it was to precede the recording of the album. And Miguel Zenon and Charlie were walking down the street, and they looked up and they saw these signs that said Not in Our Name, and they were a lot of American patriots saying, this invasion is happening not in our name,
right.
You know, and trying to make that clear. And Miguel had suggested, Charlie, that would be a good name for the album, and Charlie said, wow, that is exactly right. So Charlie then wrote a song called Not in Our Name. That's how that title came about. So when Obama was elected president, we were all so happy. And I remember Joe Daly, the tuba player who has been with the band for many years. He's an important member of the orchestra. He said, well, Charlie, we won't have to do any new records. Mm. And Charlie said, well, you never know. All sorts of things can happen. So we just have to stay on our toes. So Charlie had always been concerned about the environment. Of course, I have been too. And he wrote a song called Song for the Whales in the 1970s to be played by the band that he was playing with at the time, Old and New Dreams, made up of Ornette Coleman alumni, Dewey Redman, Paul Motion, Ed Blackwell, and Don Cherry. Because at that time, people were worried about certain animals and certain parts of the environment becoming extinct. There had been Silent Spring had come out, and Carla was also equally concerned and had written a piece called Silent Spring.
That's Rachel Carson's Silent Spring.
That's right, Rachel Carson, which was signaling the alarm about what was happening to the environment at that early time. And so when we realized that actually in these last years nothing has been done, it's been getting worse, and really now the consensus is the environment is the major issue of the day. I mean, there's so many issues, but if the environment collapses, well, then we collapse.
Exactly.
So we had begun planning this new album in the mid-2000s, and by 2007, Charlie had spoken with Carla, and I'd like you to arrange these pieces. So we had her arrange three pieces, Blue and Green. There was another one that later was on the album, and Song for the Whales. And these two pieces were recorded at a festival in Belgium, the Middelheim Jazz Festival, luckily with Charlie. And they were recorded very well by Belgian radio, but for a one-time airing only. And we got the tape.
Wonderful.
And so when Charlie heard the tape when he got home from touring, he just fell in love with those arrangements, and it was all the original band from Not in Our Name, and he just would listen to them, but then he got very ill. And it was an illness, post polio syndrome, where you slowly decline. And so he had to stay home for the last 3 years of his life. So he would listen to music he cared about, and he would listen to these two tracks. When he eventually passed away, I felt compelled to take these two tracks to Jean-Philippe Allard, who has been a tremendous supporter. He was at Universal Music in Paris, and someone he has worked with for many years, Barida Bashir, and asked if we could put these out in some way. And he said, well, maybe on a compilation. And I said, no, they're going to get lost. And I said, you know, we had already figured out the other tunes. Can we just put out the record that we had really planned? And I said, we're going to be doing the memorial, and everybody will be in town in January because it's so hard to get musicians. They're all on the road, you know, after January. And I said, we could do it. And he said, oh, I don't think there's enough time. But he made it happen. We all made it happen. And Carla and Steve Swallow stayed in New York just to do this. So we have Charlie on two of the tracks, and his good friend Steve Swallow on electric bass on the other three.
Okay.
And Carla Bley really liked that idea because she felt the electric bass in this case was not the same instrument, and she liked that. So we then finally went in for a day and a half. That's how great all these musicians are, and they recorded everything.
Wow.
And it's now come out. And now it turns out it's very timely. Certainly after the election.
Yes, definitely after the election. Well, yeah. I need you to pronounce one of these titles.
Oh, I think I know which one.
Yes, it begins with a umla, or U, or something. What is that?
I know. It's an interesting story, too. Carla wrote that a while ago, and it is called Utviklingssang. And it is about the indigenous people in Norway. They were forced to move their villages in order to make these dams for the oil companies.
Wow.
They go into it in the liner notes. And so that moved Carla, and she decided to write a song about it. And then she expanded it for an arrangement for the orchestra, because it was originally written in the 1970s in response to one of Norway's many development scandals, when the Norwegian government planned to develop a series of dams in the far north to generate electricity for the big cities. The dams would have a negative impact on the local people, animals, and fish. So that was another song that she had written for a smaller group, and we decide to put it on there and expand it for the orchestra.
Yeah, another something that I'm getting from the liner notes of Time Life, Song for the Whales and Other Beings, where Carla mentions the title referred to the construction, as you mentioned, of the dams, and it would disrupt the lives of reindeer and salmon and the Sami people who live there. Hint, hint.
Hello.
Standing Rock.
We're talking about Standing Rock.
Yes.
I mean, it's all about water. It's all about, well, for me, it's common sense.
Mm-hmm.
How do we keep this beauty and this beautiful world from being completely destroyed by greed?
Right.
It's really what it is. And all of this destruction is about greed, really.
Right.
Follow the money. And I just don't understand people who have no respect, either for themselves or for their own country or for this world, which belongs to all of us, and how they can just be so destructive. I don't understand people like that. And they are different from the way I think. I know that. I don't get it.
Well, there's one thing I do appreciate about the work of Charlie Hayden and of you and Carla Bley and everybody who's involved in the Liberation Music Orchestra. Your art expresses your beliefs. You're honest and true through your creativity. So that's something that's definitely in dire need these days and always in need.
Well, I think we all as a population need to speak out the way we can.
Right.
With some people are out demonstrating for this or for, you know, or care for another important aspect of social justice.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all part of a mosaic. And so I know that Charlie felt, well, this is the way I can express what I feel. And it's not going to change everybody's mind, but I have learned in speaking to people over the years that it affects some people. And they, in turn, become inspired and do something that will help the cause. I have a beautiful story about the time Charlie and I went to Cape Town Jazz Festival. And Charlie had a workshop there, and he was doing the workshop, and I was busy doing something else. And he called me, and he said, I want you to come. There's a wonderful gentleman who wants to take us to lunch with his family. And this was a gentleman who was a member of the African National Congress, and he was a representative from Durban. And he had been jailed in Robben's Island, the same prison as Mandela,
right.
And actually was freed ultimately by Mandela. But because the apartheid situation had become so horrific, where they moved everybody back to their own tribes, and the government also said that everyone had to learn in their own language, in other words, you had to learn everything in Zulu, like math in Zulu, so of course there were no textbooks for anything. This way they tried to de-educate the population. So Peter didn't really have a formal education at the time. His father was a member of the African National Congress and had Charlie's album, the very first one, the Liberation Music Orchestra.
Wow.
And Peter read the liner notes and learned about Martin Luther King and all of these heroes, because he didn't know about them because he hadn't had the education. Mm-hmm. Then he started learning more about these people. So when he talked about how he survived in prison and in isolation, and I said, Peter, how did you stand it? How did you survive in those horrific conditions? And he said, well, this is why I'm here. Because I read the liner notes and then went on to discover more about these heroes like Martin Luther King and read about them and how they survived, I was able to call upon that to give me strength to survive while I was in jail.
Wow.
And I almost burst into tears.
Yeah.
I mean, you just don't know when something is going to have a positive effect.
Right.
Where someone is going to inspire someone. And of course, I'm a big fan of liner notes.
Right.
You don't get if you're doing digital downloads.
Hello!
Or streaming. You know, because, you know, even this album, it's hard to find albums nowadays.
Right.
You've got rental cars that don't even have CD players. But, you know, we have a beautiful cover by Georgia O'Keeffe.
Yes.
Which is called Blue and Green in Music.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, one of the tunes on the album is Blue in Green.
Right, Miles Davis.
And, yes, by Miles Davis. Then the liner notes explain how we came to make the album, what Charlie was thinking, and what the meaning of the tunes are. And
right.
I always think that that's part of the art project, to put things in context.
Exactly.
It's nice to feel the context of the music. I mean, the music stands alone, of course, but there's this added artistic experience, having the context.
Yes.
So I kind of think things get lost when you don't have liner notes. And
I'm right there with you.
Missing the LPs.
Yes. I mean, it took me a while to accept the CDs, but as long as there were liner notes, we could work. We could do this.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, Ruth Cameron Hayden, I just want to share with everybody once again that Charlie Hayden's Liberation Music Orchestra, as part of the Winter Jazz Festival, will be at La Poisson Rouge, 158 Bleecker Street, Tuesday, January 10th. It's an 8 p.m. show, and there are still tickets available, but do not wait. You should just go to winterjazzfest.com and make that happen for yourself, because you might not get in.
And it could be wonderful. We have all the wonderful players, Tony Malaby,
yes,
Lawrence Stillman, Chris Cheek, Michael Rodriguez, Seneca Black, Vincent Chancey,
yes,
McIntyre, Curtis Folks, Steve Cardenas, Rodney Green's going to be on drums, and Derek Old, who studied with Charlie. He and Scott Colley both studied with Charlie, and they both have performed this music at different times so beautifully. You just know that the master himself is looking down, making sure everything's right. You know,
oh,
it's so beautiful. Everybody
wonderful.
Felt the presence. And the arrangements by Carla Bley are really stellar. They're just beautiful. They're so deep and inspiring. And I know that everybody will enjoy the concert.
Well, it is a concert for social justice, and it has a special guest, Jerry Allen.
Very special guest.
Yes.
Brilliant pianist. Brilliant, brilliant artist.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
We're definitely looking forward to that. Is there something else you'd want to share, Ruth?
Well, about that, yes, just get your tickets and come on down again Tuesday, January the 10th, and it's the closing concert of the Winter Jazz Festival. And also, if you're still into CDs, if you can find them, I don't know, you got to order it on Amazon. Time Life, Song for the Whales and Other Beings.
Right.
And it's Charlie Hayden's last Liberation Music Orchestra album. It completes the suite with arrangements by Carla Bley. It's really historic, and it's also very beautiful. And I will note that there's a new book coming out that it just so happened. This wasn't all planned, but it just all happened very in sync. A book, Conversations with Charlie Hayden. It's by Joseph Woodard and Charlie Hayden, and Joseph Woodard is a great writer who has written a lot extensively about jazz. And it basically is a series of conversations over a 20-year period that Joseph Woodard had with Charlie Hayden in various contexts. And it's a charming, really interesting book, and it will be coming out early January.
So that's wonderful.
Something that's happening. So Charlie's spirit is with us, and he's still pulling for the planet.
No doubt.
For social justice.
Actually, I have a question with regard to the name of the band now. It's referred to as Charlie Hayden's Liberation Music Orchestra. Was that before this Winter Jazz Fest event?
Well, it was to avoid confusion. I'm sure there are some people who don't realize that Charlie Hayden has passed away.
I see.
You know, and so it seems like the easiest way to denote this is his orchestra rather than just saying Charlie Hayden Liberation Music Orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was not just for the Winter Jazz Festival. It has been at other places that the orchestra performed at the Chicago Jazz Festival this past summer, and then went to Europe. And I've just been so heartened by people coming up to me and saying, thank you for doing this. You know, I wanted to take it very slowly. I wanted it to be respectful and have meaning, and it seems to be something that people want to hear. And the musicians want to play. They love the music.
Oh, wonderful. I was so excited to hear that this is how the festival was going to close. It was just perfect, perfect news.
Well, I think so. With their theme of social justice, I mean, which band would be more appropriate?
Right. Well, I'm also grateful that that is the theme this year. They're very actively. The theme is social justice. So.
Yes. Well, I mean, now, you know, it's all reached critical mass.
Right.
So we really have to all work on all the issues and work together to make progress. And, well, everyone's got their work cut out for them, that's for sure.
Well, Ruth Cameron Hayden, thank you so much for joining Sugar in My Bowl and sharing this information about Charlie Hayden's Liberation Music Orchestra and about the upcoming book that's Conversations that's happening
with Charlie Hayden.
With Charlie Hayden. Excellent.
It's a Zillman James Press.
Okay.
And, you can probably pre-order it on Amazon.
Wonderful.
And then our CD, Time Life, Song for the Whales and Other Beings.
Definitely.
The Charlie Hayden Liberation Music Orchestra. And I really thank you very much, Joyce, for inviting me and for all the great work you do, because I'm a big fan.
Thank you.
I know I said that at the end, so.
I didn't say
it at the beginning.
No, it's fine. I'm just grateful that you said it. Well, you know I'm a fan of your household, so even the triplets.
Oh, they're wonderful. They are fabulous singers, and certainly Charlie was a big fan too.
Right.
And Josh, who has
exactly.
his own band.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
well, thank you so much, and I hope to see you there.
I do as well.
At the concert.
All right, Ruth. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My name's Joyce Jones, and I'm on the line with...
My name is Joseph Daly.
Joseph Daly, thank you so much for joining Sugar in My Bowl again. We're always glad when you're able to join us.
It's always an honor to be on the program. You do an excellent job.
Thank you. We're talking today because I want to speak to you about Charlie Hayden's Liberation Music Orchestra. You are all coming to town for the Winter Jazz Festival on January 10th. Great. What I was wondering, though, is how did you wind up playing with the orchestra to begin with?
I've been listening to the orchestra, you know, of course, for many, many, many years. And one of my classmates in high school, Ani Sharon Friedman, was a member since the album The Ballad of the Fallen, 1982. And at that time, Jack Jeffers was playing tuba in the orchestra. And then the orchestra slowly evolved, and then Bob Stewart took over the chair. And around 1987, I got a call from Ani Sharon Friedman asking me if I was available to come down because Charlie wanted to give me an opportunity to play with the orchestra. So I came in and I played that very first concert that evening. It was September 12th of 1987 at St. John's at the Vine. And I've been with the orchestra ever since, and that's going on 30 years this year.
Wow, it's amazing. And as far as recordings are concerned, your first recording with them, I guess, was the Montreal tapes?
Oh, yeah, Montreal tape is correct. Yeah, 1989, right?
Yeah.
And Dreamkeeper.
Makonda Ken McIntyre is on that one.
Oh, yeah. The personnel on that one is when Charlie made a major change. Prior to the Dreamkeeper, the personnel was slightly different. But when he moved into the Dreamkeeper, of course, Charlie and Carla, then Ray Anderson joined on trombone. I played tuba. Ani Sharon Friedman remained. Earl Gardner, Mick Goodrich on guitar. Tom Harrell, Joe Lovano, Branford Marcellus, Makonda McIntyre. Paul Motion, Amina Cordy and Myers, and Dewey Redman, joined by the Oakland Youth Choir, because Carla wrote music for voices on that one, to back up both the spirituals and to use the choir in the text for the Dreamkeeper segment by Langston Hughes.
I noticed Jerry Allen was on the Montreal tapes.
Yeah, Jerry Allen was on the Montreal tape, and the very first concert I did at the Cathedral with the orchestra, she was also in that orchestra at that particular time. The personnel of that orchestra was Jerry Allen on piano, myself on tuba, Stanton Davis on trumpet, Ani Sharon Friedman on French horn, Mick Goodrich on guitar, Charlie, of course, and then Craig Harris was playing trombone, Joe Lovano, saxophone, Makonda Ken McIntyre, and Paul Motion, Dewey Redman, and Herb Robinson was playing trumpet at that time in 87. When I first joined the orchestra in 1987, Jerry was playing piano, and of course, she was doing projects with Charlie, a trio projects and other projects besides the orchestra project, and I think she stayed till slightly after the Montreal tapes, and then she left, and for Dreamkeeper, Amina Claudia Myers became,
right,
you know, the pianist for that one. Both of them are utterly amazing women and musicians and composers, arrangers, educators, you name it. They're very, very powerful, powerful women.
And they both have been guests on Sugar in My Bowl, so I am so grateful to have spoken.
Yeah, I kind of figured that would be the case.
Well, it's really great that both of them also are involved in this year's Winter Jazz Festival. Amina Claudia Myers, actually, early on in the festival, had a solo piano session. So
she's a very, very, very gifted lady. And And she just keeps, you know, just slightly under the radar.
Right.
Both of them are very, very gifted women. And, of course, you know, in conjunction with Carla Bley and, of course, Ruth Cameron, you know, you got a very, very strong core of women that kind of supported Charlie and making sure the orchestra was happening during that period. As they began to slowly move on, then, of course, Ruth took on a much more powerful role. And she's the main impetus right now for the continuation of the orchestra. She's like the driving force, along with Carla, of course, and the band members, because the band members presently, at this point, we feel like a family, you know, a real family, because we've been through a lot together, and we recorded some amazing music together, and we, unfortunately, as we saw his decline from this very vibrant, powerful man, and then as the polio took over, it began to slowly deteriorate his skills, but his energy was never diminished, and his driving force and love for the music, that never diminished. The last concert we did with him, which was in California. He had a couple of bass players standing by just in case he couldn't finish the performance. So they were just standing by just waiting for Charlie to call him on stage. And, you know, it was periods in time when people thought he would call, but he kind of just regained his strength and just played the entire concert.
Wow.
And played brilliantly and just kept those two guys off stage, never got an opportunity to come on stage. So
wow.
That was an amazing performance. He just showed you the love and dedication and how powerful music is, where it can make a person that's not physically well still drive ensembles such as the Liberation Music Orchestra and play brilliant solos and brilliant melodic lines and just support everybody. He was an amazing man. It's an honor to be in his company and to be in this orchestra because it's a very, very unique orchestra.
I noticed between Dreamkeepers and the most recent Time Life, there was the Not In Our Name release.
Oh, yeah, Not In Our Name, yeah. That's when the personnel changed again because Paul Motion was the drummer prior to that. Then the band, all of a sudden, you know, I just got by Charlie or Carla or Ruth, and they said, you know, come down to rehearsal. We're getting ready to put the band back together again and do another project. And I walked in, and just about the whole personnel changed, except for me and Ani. All of a sudden, we had Michael Rodriguez, Seneca Black on trumpet, Curtis Folks on trombone,
right.
Miguel Zenon on alto, Chris Cheek tenor, and then the great Tony Malaby, Steve Cardenas on guitar, and then Matt Wilson. So that personnel has remained pretty stable, except for Ani. Ani, she decided that the traveling and everything was a little too difficult for her, so she slowly began to slide out of the band.
Oh, okay.
And Vincent Chan, Nancy slowly came in and became the French horn player, and he's the French horn player on the new project.
On Time Life, and he's also going to be with you on Tuesday at La Poisson Rouge.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely the person that's playing French horn with the orchestra. He's an amazing musician. When he took over for Ani, Charlie wasn't sure who was going to be the next, because Ani's, like I said, she's been there with the band since the Ballad of the Fallen.
Right.
And so, you know, it was a difficult decision for him to make. But once he heard how comfortable Vincent was with the music and what a great soloist and performer he was, and real person, and there's a certain chemistry you have to have in order to be in this orchestra, and he had that type of political chemistry, you know, certain type of thing of being empathetic and compassionate, and other qualities of every member of this ensemble that Charlie kind of feels you out on, and Vincent worked out fine.
Well, I noticed on the title cut that in the order of soloists, you sort of close out the list of soloists there.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is, the title track, Time Life, of course, you know, Carla wrote that piece. And,
right.
And the interesting thing is, when she brought the piece in to be recorded, she explained that this was pretty advanced stuff even for her, because what she did was, when she found out that Charlie had passed from Ruth, she immediately wanted to write a piece, so she played what she thought would be the last chord of the piece, and then she thought she would construct the piece from the back to the front, but she wanted this sound of finality that she heard on the piano. And what happened instead, she took this final chord, and that became the first chord of the piece.
Oh, all right.
You could imagine, while we were recording it, she was like really, really concerned, because she really outdid herself as far as the colors, the kind of multi-tonality she used in the chord, of course, the brilliant orchestrations and arrangements that she does. But she also wanted to give every member of the band an opportunity to make a solo statement in honor of Charlie. So everybody in the band had an opportunity to play a solo on that particular piece. I was fortunate enough to have the last solo on this piece, and it was a great honor to even be on this album, and a great honor to be chosen as one of the solos on this piece. And Carla considers one of her really brilliant pieces, and you know she's an amazing composer, a radio star. She considers this to be one of her epic works. Because there's a lot involved with it. It's just not music and notes, and it's love and all the time they spent together and the kind of collaborations they've done for 48 years since 1969. And it's interesting, in 2 years it'll be the 50th anniversary of the orchestra. It'll be interesting to see what Ruth plans to for the orchestra.
I got the impression from when I spoke to Ruth that the Liberation Orchestra is going to continue.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah.
She's not going to let, because this is, you know, this is Charlie's, this is like his heart and soul. He had so many other projects going along, but the Liberation Orchestra was like a special thing for him. Because when he wanted to make a big statement or say something, you know, regarding either politics or in this case, the environment, he would go to Carla and they would sit down, they would collaborate and kind of work out ideas and everything. And then they would put the orchestra together. This is definitely a historic album because it's Charlie's last album performing with the Liberation Orchestra. And then, of course, Carla is stretching into new realms while maintaining the concept of a jazz ensemble. Also, each member of the ensemble is given a place where they can be the composer for 8-16 bars through the improvisational process.
Mm-hmm.
Carla has been doing so well for many, many years. She's like a special type of lady. There's no one like her. She's totally consumed by the music. I mean, commercial success and all that thing is not even on her scope. She's not concerned if she's going to be the top arranger or to have the top band of the year or win the downbeat poll or whatever. I mean, those are not concerns for her. Her concern is to every day become a better and better composer, arranger, writer, person, musician, pianist, everything. She has these personal goals that she's after, even though she's been very successful. As you know, she's a jazz master. So she's had success, but that's not her driving force.
Right. Well, there's another thing I want to mention about the Time Life Song for the Whales and Other Beings release from Charlie Hayden's Liberation Music Orchestra. The dedication. The album was dedicated to Charlie, of course, Felicia Wilson, and also your partner, Wanda Daly, sadly transitioned last year. And I sort of want to take this time to publicly extend my condolences for your loss.
Oh, yes. Yes, she was my heart and soul. And then Felicia Wilson, of course, is Matt Wilson's
the drummer.
Wife.
Mm-hmm.
She also transitioned probably a year before Wanda did. And both Wanda and Felicia were actively involved in the career of their husbands, you know. And they both were musically gifted and talented. She was a school teacher, and Wanda also, she began her career as a school teacher.
Right.
And taught music, and she majored in voice and everything, and she was just a special. And she was around the orchestra, you know, since 1987. Wherever we can go out of town, she would come with us. And the same thing with Felicia. Whenever she had the time, she would come down and see the performances. So the orchestra knew her, and we felt the great loss, just like Matt did when she passed. And same thing, everybody in the orchestra knew Wanda, and they felt the same kind of great loss that I had. But the concept of the family situation with the Liberation Music Orchestra is that this album could have been just easily dedicated to Charlie Hayden, and everybody would have been fine with that. But Ruth has a way of kind of, and the same thing, Carla, you know, they're very empathetic towards musicians and very protective and very loyal to the members of the ensemble. Once you're in the group, you're in part of the group, and you become part of their family, and then your family becomes extended part of their family. So I was greatly moved when I got the information that Wanda's name would appear. And I'm sure Matt was the same when he got the information that Felicia would be on this particular project. And I'll, you know, we'll never, never, ever forget it.
It's beautiful.
Everybody in the office is the same. Everybody's so nice and humble. And yeah, I guess that we just pick that up when you see, like, you're among great musicians like Caller and Charlie. And they're just so humble, and they're such nice people. There's no ego involved. Anybody can come up to them at any time and say anything to them, talk to them about anything. And it's not like, no, I'm too busy. I'm Charlie Hayden, or I'm, you know, how dare you talk to me? I'm the great Caller Blaine. I mean, that doesn't exist in this orchestra. And then even when Steve Swallow came in to cover the bass chair for this particular project on the tunes that Charlie didn't play on, Steve is like a master musician, you know. And he just came in, he just is humble and just hung out with the rest of the guys and just so appreciative to be part of the project. I guess when you reach a certain level of proficiency on your instrument, when you're not really trying to prove anything to anybody, that also becomes reflective in your personality. You're confident in your skin, and you know that you spent hours and hours and that necessary to be comfortable with what you do, and there's no need to act like some type of prima donna. You just act like a decent person. And that's one thing about the orchestra. If you sit down with any member of the orchestra and talk to them, they're very, very humble, very, very empathetic, compassionate, loving people that, you know, love the earth, love music, and love humanity, just like Charlie did. Charlie was a massive influence on people, not just dealing with music, but dealing with life, dealing with politics, dealing with making sure that things are done correctly, making sure that people are not abused or used or anything like that.
Well, I remember you mentioning when you were on the show in 2014, I guess it was, when we were talking about Charlie, and you mentioned how you're playing your solo, and then all of a sudden, in the background, you hear somebody go, yeah.
That was always Charlie. I mean, that's the thing. You're playing along, and all of a sudden, you just hear him screaming in the background, yeah, you know. And it just, I mean, he was just inspirational. There's no doubts about it. And then off the stage, he would just pull you, oh, man, that was, and, you know, this is like coming from, like, Charlie Hayden. It's right. Like, oh, my you know, it's just unbelievable. But he's been very supportive of especially me over the years, you know, because, and like I said, you can see all those personnel changes over the years and everything. He just kept calling me. And,
wonderful.
And I just kind of remained a member of the ensemble for close 30 years, and it was just a great honor. My assumption is that, you know, we're both in the same range where my notes hit and where his notes hit.
Yes.
So when I play, I'm always aware of where he is as far as pitch, you know, rhythm, you know, articulation, density, attack, and all that stuff. So I try to match his sound intonation as much as possible. So I don't know if this to be a fact, but I'm just assuming that he just kind of felt empathy for my sound or the way I blended with him in that part of the range of the orchestration, and he felt very comfortable. It's very reflective in the album where we did the Samuel Barber piece, Adagio, Not in Our Name album.
From Adagio for Strings.
Yeah, Adagio from Strings, yeah. Right. And the bass and the tuba are pretty much lined up from the very beginning, and intonation is very, very crucial on that particular piece, orchestrated by Carla. And Carla really enjoyed writing for tuba, so every time she got an opportunity to write for tuba, she took full advantage of that, and of course combined it sometimes with Charlie as far as part of that, and sometimes I was away from Charlie, and just my concern was with the rest of the ensemble, and Charlie was doing something else.
Oh, wonderful. That's great. Now, is there anything you want to tell the listeners as we bring this to a close about Tuesday's performance as part of the Winter Jazz Festival of Charlie Hayden's Liberation Music Orchestra?
Well, this is one of the great orchestras of my generation and, of course, Charlie's generation. And it's a completely different sounding orchestra than any orchestra in existence at this particular time. And the concepts that Carla brings to the orchestra are very, very unique. So if you want a very, very unique experience with very unique musicians, and then, you know, have the added beauty of having Jerry Allen play piano, it should be quite a performance and should not be missed.
Well, thank you so much, Joseph Daly, for joining Sugar in My Bowl and sharing your experience and this information about Charlie Hayden's Liberation Music Orchestra. I have to get used to saying that.
Yeah, well, the thing is this. One of the many blessings I had over the years to be a part of this ensemble. This is a very, very special ensemble. No doubt about it at all.
Well, thank you so much, Joseph Daly.
Hey, well, thank you so much for including me.
Hey,
And you're listening to the closing moments of Sugar in My Bowl. My name's Joyce Jones. Our guests for this evening were Ruth Cameron Hayden, producer, road manager, and widow of Charlie Hayden, and Joseph Daly, a longtime member of the Liberation Music Orchestra, which was our feature this evening, Charlie Hayden's Liberation Music Orchestra. And Charlie Hayden's Liberation Music Orchestra with special guest Jerry Allen as pianist and conductor, Tuesday evening, January 10th, and the concert begins at 8 p.m. There will be a panel discussion that precedes the concert on the subject of music and environmental justice. What you're listening to right now is Song of the Whales from Charlie Hayden Liberation Music Orchestra, their latest release, Time Life, Song for the Whales and Other Beings, 2016 Impulse Records release. Before that, we heard a segment from Time Life. It was written by Carla Bley and features Joe Daly, his tuba solo. And this is also from Time Life, Song for the Whales and Other Beings. Before that, we heard Kose Sikelele, Africa, from Charlie Hayden and the Liberation Music Orchestra. Dreamkeeper is the name of that release. This is a 1991 Blue Note Records release. Before that, well, this is that song that Ruth Cameron Hayden had to pronounce with the umla from Time Life, Song for the Whales and Other Beings. Utviklingssang. That's as good as I can get. Before that, of course, we heard our On the Bandstand segment with our associate producer, Hank Williams. Sugar in My Bowl will be back on January 22nd with our special guest, Melvin Gibbs, bassist with the group Harriet Tubman. Stay tuned for La Nueva Alternativa. That should be coming up next here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Stay tuned.
So whales represent all living creatures. They're so precious and so wonderful. Just like this universe is, like this planet is, and like you are. You have to never forget that. You're a part of it. We're here for a reason, and that's to make sure this universe stays beautiful and wonderful and brilliant. And it's so important to remember how precious this life is. Thank you so much.
Hello. Bueno, this is Sonia Sanchez. I urge you to give your generous support to listener-sponsored community radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York.